Today's program has been brought to you by Fairway Market, like no other market, a New York City institution that sells the best local, national, and international artisan foods for prices that can't be beat. For more information, visit fairwaymarket.com. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more. You're listening to a special interview in anticipation of the 2013 Just Food Conference. Just Food connects communities with the resources and support they need to make fresh, locally grown food accessible to all New Yorkers. Just Food also has a food justice program that increases awareness and action around food and farm issues and advances policies for a thriving local food system. The 2013 Just Food Conference will take place on Friday, March 29th and Saturday, March 30th. For more information and tickets, visit justfood.org.
All right, we are kicking off our preview series of the upcoming Just Food Conference. We decided to start at the tippity top with Executive Director Jackie Berger. Jackie, welcome to the station.
Thank you so much for having me.
We are also in studio with a special guest host, and I will go ahead and let you introduce yourself.
Hi there, my name is Nathaniel Coburn. I'm a about to graduate member of the NYU Food Studies program.
So Nathaniel has worked with us to put together a series of interviews. We're going to be hearing from a bunch of people who will be presenting at their conference over the next couple of weeks to kind of get us revved up and prepared for what we're going to be learning towards the end of March. But I thought we would start with a little bit of an overview for folks who might not be super familiar with the work of Just Food. So maybe you can break it down for us, Jackie.
I'd be happy to, but I have to say that introduction was just beautiful. I want to take that music and that mood and everything about it. That was just awesome. It was
here. I have to give a big shout out to Jack Inslee, our executive producer. He's like the music man.
Yeah, thank you for that. It was great. I've never heard the mission put to music before, and it was really nice. Our work is to, as we just heard, to help all New Yorkers connect with fresh, healthy, locally grown food. We do that through a wide variety of complementary programs from CSA. So if you belong to a CSA in New York City, chances are Just Food had a hand in getting you started, from matching the community group to the farmer and helping the managers to figure out everything they needed to know to run a CSA. We do a lot of work with urban farmers by running Farm School NYC, which is a great two-year certificate program to learn how to farm. And we also do a lot of work in community gardens, helping people to grow more food, start and run their own farmers markets, run chicken projects, that kind of thing. We do food education because, as you know, it's so important for people to learn how to cook. Otherwise, all that great local produce doesn't have anywhere to go. And we do farm-to-food pantry work and food justice work as well, as we heard earlier.
You sound like you keep pretty busy.
There's a lot going on, but it's exciting. I mean, the movement and the demand for these kinds of programming and these kinds of services is on the rise constantly as more and more people think about what they eat and want to find a way to eat better. So there's always more people to respond to, and we're happy to do it.
More is more, right? So this isn't the first conference that you guys have hosted, so I wonder if you can kind of take us back to the genesis of this idea and, you know, what you were hoping to accomplish when you started, and then what is different about the conference this year in 2013?
So way back in the beginning, when Just Food was kind of just a glitter in the eye of a couple of key people, the first thing that our organization was doing was building bridges by creating conversations between folks who weren't having conversations. And when I say, you know, folks that weren't talking to each other, I mean people in the anti-hunger movement weren't talking to people in the sustainable agriculture movement, didn't see what they might have in common. Now I feel like that's become almost commonplace, where people who are trying to meet the needs of New York City's hungry think about local farmers, think about reaching out either to gleaning programs and other kinds of things. So the environment we work in has changed radically, which is really exciting. The other thing that we used to do way, way back in the day is the first CSAs in New York City, and I apologize, I misspoke. There was one CSA in New York City when we started doing this, but the first six after that first one were formed through a conference. I think about this, and I think this must have been so hard to do, because the executive director at the time, who was our founder, Kathy Lawrence, she reached out to some local farmers and said, hey, there's this model. It's called CSA, which nobody had heard of before, community-supported agriculture. and said, if you do this, people will pay you up front for your vegetables. And they all kind of looked at her like she was nuts, because they were used to a world in which you deliver your produce and then you are a collections agency calling and trying to get paid for the produce that you delivered 6 weeks ago. And this was a model designed to say that, you know, you should get paid up front for your produce because you're incurring all those costs up front. And then you provide weekly deliveries to the city. So the farmers kind of thought this was nuts, but they came. And then doing this outreach to the community saying, hey, pay in advance for your groceries.
People weren't lining up.
Well, it was just, I mean, such a radical model to be talking about at the time. And I don't know how they did it, but they filled a room of eager folks, and farmers met communities and communities met farmers, and the next six CSAs were born.
So I just want to, you know, put this in context time-wise. What year are we talking about, roughly?
Mid-90s.
Mid-90s, mm-hmm. Okay.
So in terms of the food movement, that was a very long time ago. And I when I'm trying to create context for people, I talk about the fact that it wasn't until the late 90s that the USDA standards for organic were passed. So, I mean, we think of organic as something that's always been there and always been regulated, but it really hasn't. It's very recent in food culture history. And this was before that. So really before this took on the national consciousness, which is kind of exciting. And so the conference idea is sort of very foundational for Just Food. And it has, as the food movement has grown, as we've all seen, so have our conferences. And so last year, I think it was last year for the first time that we had a two-day, more than 2,000 people at a conference. And this year again, we're expecting 1,000 people a day at our conference, and we've already sold 1,200 tickets, and it's not till the end of March. So we're really excited about the amount of energy that comes together to learn about and really, more importantly, share what they know about how to get good food into everybody's communities and kitchens.
So is the conference for this year, you know, thematically different, or is it an extension of the breadth of programming you guys pursue? Or, you know, the initial conference, the initial kind of genesis was, it sounds like a pretty singular kind of mission. And I'm just wondering, like, as you've gone from year to year, if you like take on different themes, or there's a particular thrust for this year that we should be tucking into.
Yeah, as you said, it used to be very, like, this is CSA. But as we've gotten bigger, we've gotten broader, and we've gotten actually probably less focused. So this year we're going to have 100 different workshops on 10 different tracks, CSA being just one of them. But talking about food education and urban farming and all these different kinds of, so if you want to delve into a certain focus area, and some of these really go beyond even the breadth of the organization. And so we're convening those workshops in service to the greater movement.
So, I mean, in a lot of ways, it sounds really kind of very similar to the beginning, where you guys are at the forefront of connecting communities that might not necessarily think to kind of come together. So that's really exciting.
We hope so. We'd really like to. I mean, there's so many generative conversations, and when those conversations happen, innovations come about and new groups form, and, you know, people find alliances and partnerships that they didn't know were there. And networking is such a great way for people to get engaged and to join the movement. And so that's a big part of it, too.
I know we're definitely excited. The Heritage Radio Network will be there doing a session on how to create your own podcast. So definitely look for us if you're signing up. Nathaniel, I wondered if you wanted to jump in here as someone who's kind of coming to New York and coming into this community a little bit more recently. And I would just be curious about kind of your impressions of Just Food and the conference and what you might be looking forward to.
Well, I'm very excited to see all of the different programming tracks that are there, but I've been especially excited about the food justice components and some of the workshops that you'll be presenting about anti-oppression, anti-racism trainings, that sort of thing, and increasing access and inclusivity for CSA programs. I'm wondering if... Wow, I just froze up.
That's
like,
okay.
Completely just froze up. Wow.
Well, I can jump in. That topic that you identified, that is something that is so central to the organization, has been since the birth of the organization. Mm-hmm. So as much as supporting local farmers and working with to sustain and support local agriculture is core to Just Food, mm-hmm. making sure that every New Yorker, regardless of their race, class, income, background, culture, you know, has access to this good food movement has been central for us. So even when CSA was so radical and so new and people were just starting to get turned on to it, and so you would think that that's a big enough concept to sell to people, mm-hmm. but even then, having a sliding scale and having, you know, advocating so that food stamps could be used to join a CSA, so that really anybody who was turned on by this idea, even if they didn't have, even, you know, to come from a community of affluence, would still have access to this movement. And so that's been so central to us, and it is going forward. And I think it's great that people are paying more attention to structural racism in the food system and want to figure out how they, no matter what their color or class, how they are a part of the food system and how they can start to dismantle racism in the food system.
Before we were before the show began, we were talking about how to promote healthy food initiatives while still maintaining a sense of cultural relevancy, and talking about some of the difficulties and challenges with that. I wonder if you could say more.
Sure. And this is something that we are actively wrestling with and trying to figure out how we can play the best role. Because when you look at New York City, we are such a melting pot. And that is one of our strengths as a community, is that, you know, people come here from all over the world. And when you think about food, like every single listener, when you think about food, food, however you know, whatever you ate growing up, if you think about the meals that you ate in your kitchen as a little kid, you know, you identify with those foods. When you think about the food culture, I mean, some cultures are really known for their food, but everybody has a food culture, every single one of us. And that is something that we hold very dear and we're very protective of. And so if you say now you must eat local in order to be a part of this good food movement, mm-hmm. you may be taking something away from someone. So how do we overcome that? How do we recognize the fact that, you know, people here from cultures all over the world, there may be some crops that can be locally grown that can, you know, that you can have that continuity of flavor. But there are some things that you will never be able to grow locally. I mean, no matter how much climate change we see, you won't be able to grow those things locally. So how do we incorporate all those diverse food cultures that we have here in New York City and beyond, and not leave them out of the local food movement, of the good food movement? And if you guys have ideas for me, I'd love to hear them, because it's something we really wrestle with.
Absolutely.
So, you know, this is the kind of structural racism in the food system. And I think even more generally than that, talking about race and food is something that we're hoping to do more of here on the radio network. But I think we're also a little nervous because it can be a topic that, imparts really strong feelings among groups, and learning the language and navigating the landscape and understanding how to identify people to be resources is something that we're just slowly tucking into. And, you know, because your organization has been really, I think, in the city at the forefront of this movement and this dialogue, we're hoping that maybe you can give us a little bit of advice and, like, structurally how you guys approach it and remain open and sensitive and create a safe place for people to kind of make mistakes as they're learning.
I think that we do what you do really well. I mean, I think the key is listening and knowing that you don't have all the answers. And I think that you guys are really, really good at that. And you work hard to have a diversity of hosts, and that will create a diversity of conversations. And just being really proactive about that, I think, is key. And I think that, you know, for us, our approach to any of the work that we do, we want to listen to what the community needs, and we want to adapt what we think of as solutions to meeting the critical demands of a community. So we don't come in with like a one-size-fits-all, here, how this is how you fix your food system, go to it, you know, or here, we'll fix the food system for you, because that can't be done. You know, what is the right answer for any community has to be community-owned and community-driven. So by providing that space for people to talk about what they need and helping them to figure out the solutions for themselves, I think that's something that Just Food can do, and I think it's something that Heritage Radio does really well, too.
Well, that's great to hear. I feel like we're in good company and excited to be working together more. We are going to take just a short break. And when we come back, I want to hear a little bit more about what else is cooking up at Just Food. So great. Hang tight.
Thanks a lot.
You're listening to Onions Milk by Iggy Dean on Heritage Radio Network.
Hi, I'm Steve Jenkins from Fairway Markets. You know, there's no more telling aspect, no more revealing virtue of a group of people having evolved in a lovely way than how they feed themselves, how they entertain, how they put food on the table, what they put on the table. Heritage Radio Network provides the clearest evidence that there's hope for us yet. Heritage Radio's like Fairway Market in that we both care deeply about what you're having for dinner tonight. Heritage Radio Network is not just about food, though. Every time I tune in, I learn something about things other than food, too. Architecture, design, stuff like that. But from where I stand, I still say, if you can't eat it, what's the point? For more information, please visit fairwaymarket.com.
All right, we are back. We are in studio with Jackie Berger, Executive Director of Just Food, and Nathaniel Colburn, our roving reporter with the Heritage Radio Network. And we have been chatting about the upcoming Just Food Conference. And Jackie, I know that you guys are super excited by the scope of the presenters you'll have this year. And I'm wondering if maybe you can highlight some of the stuff that is particularly exciting for us this season.
Yeah. What's really exciting about the conference this year is that we got to be more curators, where we kind of asked people from the community who are doing this work, whether they're doing work in schools or in community gardens or in other kinds of institutions, really everybody who works in food, to contribute ideas about what we should be talking about. And then we got to play the role of curator and put the conference together. So we hopefully have something for everybody there, no matter where you are from the food movement, whether you're just really an excited eater to somebody who has aspirations to do this work professionally or already is and wants to get more involved. So we have, in terms of some of the highlights and who's going to be there, we have our keynote for this year is Byron Hurt, who just came out with a wonderful documentary called Soul Food Junkies, which we were actually also talking about before the break. Yeah. And he talks about, and this resonates with what we were just talking about, he talks about how soul food is such a critical piece of people's culture, and they identify with it so strongly, and they draw so much joy from soul food, and yet it's making his community sick, and wrestles with that in such a poignant way, and in a way where it's an insider looking in instead of an outsider looking in. So it's so much more powerful, I think, than if somebody else had gone in and said, like, hey, what's going on with soul food? You know, it's just, it's a great piece. And so we're very excited that he's going to be delivering our keynote address. And we have at the conference, on Saturday, we do food talks, which is a lineup of five different speakers representing different parts of the food system and talking about that. And last year we had an incredible, we never know exactly what people are going to talk about, but we try to get a diversity of voices there who can shed light on different parts of the food system. So this year we have everybody from Tamar Adler, who wrote this beautiful book about food. I feel like she's the MFK Fisher for this young food generation. And she has a beautiful approach to how we can eat efficiently and economically and locally and sustainably. So I'm excited to hear what she's going to bring. We have Karen Washington, who has been a force for urban agriculture in New York City for decades, and she is just a powerful urban gardener and involved in the Black Urban Gardeners Association and the New York City Community Garden Coalition, and she's a Just Food board member. So she just brings all this experience and enthusiasm for the movement. To Bob Lewis, who from the New York State Department of Agriculture and Markets, who's been in this movement forever and who has been engaged in every single thing that's happened in farming in New York City for the past three decades plus. How often do you have the opportunity to hear from somebody like that? So we're just really excited about what they'll bring to the conference and their energy and perspective.
So I would say for folks who haven't got their tickets yet but might be thinking about it, can you just give us a sense of the scope of programming for the day? I mean, you'll have kind of a welcome and a keynote speaker, and but then like what should people expect, and can they show up just for Friday or just for Saturday, or how does it work?
Yeah, you can come either just Friday or just Saturday, and it's pretty clear on our website, justfood.org. You can click on the conference link what programming is available, which days, and you can pre-register for workshops. You can change afterwards. We just want to get a sense for where people's enthusiasm is, so we make sure we get big enough rooms for the ones that get a lot of energy. And then you should expect workshops. And the workshops will really be for any kind of interest area that you might have, whether you want to get involved in your kid's school or whether you want to get involved in growing food on your rooftop. So everything from like very hands-on things like I want to eat like this, or I want to grow like this, or I want to learn how to ferment foods, that kind of hands-on stuff that people might want to skills build or learn how to do things.
Like making your own podcast with the heritageradionetwork.org.
Like making your own podcast.
I got to plug it.
It sounds awesome. And I feel like what's great about that is that for food professionals, for people who are working in the food system, whether they work for a small business or they're a small food entrepreneur or they're working at a nonprofit, that kind of skill building is so critical. And that's, you know, I mean, we want to have things there for people who are just getting involved. But for people who are there, we want something to help them grow and give them tools that they can really use. So we're really glad that you guys are going to be offering the workshop on how to do your own podcast.
plug.
Yay.
So,
side of like the how do I make my own podcast or how do I ferment my own foods or can, is on the complete flip side of that, we know that the ills of the food system, the brokenness of the food system, is really policy created, policy generated. There's a lot of policies at this city, although they're working really hard, state and federal levels, that are creating the unhealthy food system that we're all stuck in. And we work very hard to get out of that. But the reason why the overarching food system is so broken is because of policy. And so for people who want to learn how they can take on a food justice initiative in their community and work for food policy change, we have something for them too. So from the novice to the wonk, we've got something to help everybody feel engaged.
That's awesome. So jump on the website, get registered today. I think you guys can it sell out? Is that a possibility?
It has before.
All right. So get registered. Well, Jackie, I want to, I know the conference is a big part of your spring season, but I want to give you a chance to talk about some of the other stuff you're excited about that's happening in other program areas for Just Food, and, you know, really leave the floor open to you for whatever is coming up that we should be looking for in the next couple of months.
Awesome. Thank you. Well, this is CSA season officially. I'll ring a bell if there's a bell. There's no bell. It's okay. Ding, ding, ding. Oh, thank you. That was good. And now it's open. So wherever you live in New York City, anywhere in the five boroughs, this is a great time to go on justfood.org, find our CSA locator. You just put in your zip code and you'll find the CSA that's closest to you. And because there's been this incredible proliferation of CSAs, even if you thought it was sold out, try again. So this is a great time to enroll in your local CSA, and there is no better way to support a local farmer than to join a CSA. So do that right now, right this second, while you're listening. And
I'm on my iPhone. I hope you don't think it's rude. I'm just signing up for a CSA.
I'm so glad. No, that's the best thing ever. And we do want to make our technology more mobile. Anybody listening out there that wants to help Just Food get more mobile, please call me. And it's also, I mean, I know it's a little balmy out there today. So people are starting to get spring fever, which is good. That's right. It's like urban farming season. So if you want to get involved in growing, if you're involved in your community garden or you're lucky enough to have a little outdoor space, we have a city farming meetup. So it's a great way to come out, meet your fellow urban gardening enthusiasts, and learn some new skills. I know we had a pruning workshop, either we just did or we're about to. So there's all kinds of ways that you can like either catch up on things if you're rusty, or just to get involved in a bigger farming community in New York City. It's big and it's growing and it's thriving. So the City Farming Meetup Group is a great place to get engaged. And we also, the enrollment time is passed for Farm School NYC, but get on that list so you can do that some other time, because that school is It's fantastic. It's for adults, in case you think you're Farm School NYC and you think you need a second grader if you to get involved. But it's for adults who want to learn serious skills in terms of professional urban agriculture, from soils to carpentry to chicken coops and things like that. So all of that is happening. We're also going to be actively recruiting volunteers to be our community chefs and to do veggie education at the food pantries that we work with. Veggie education, if you are passionate about vegetables, we need your help. Basically, what happens is we deliver local produce once a week at food pantries, 50 food pantries throughout the five boroughs, delivering local farm produce. And sometimes people don't know what a zucchini is or don't know what, you know, kohlrabi is. Maybe you don't know what kohlrabi is, but by slicing it open and engaging in a conversation about food, you can help people really get engaged and want to try vegetables and make sure that if they take it home, even if they're taking it home in their food pantry bag that they haven't had a chance to choose what they bring home, that they're not going to put it right in the trash, that they'll try it, which is hard to do. It's hard to try a food that you're not familiar with. So it's really important that we provide that excitement and enthusiasm. So that's what our veggie educators do, and we'd love to have you if you want to be one.
Nice. So thank you so much for joining us. Definitely stay tuned to the Heritage Radio Network. We're going to be following up our interview with Jackie. Next up on Monday, March 4th at noon, we'll be speaking with Elizabeth Henderson. She's going to be presenting a workshop at the upcoming conference on diversifying CSA membership, how to include low-income people in your CSA. So if you want to hear more about that, tune in then. And then stay tuned as we continue to bring you updates and highlights from panelist speakers. And then definitely visit justfood.org to get signed up for the conference, sign up for their email newsletter, and stay engaged. Thanks so much for tuning in to this program. This, like all 30 of our live weekly shows, is available for free through our website, www.heritageradionetwork.org. You can also find us on iTunes, Stitcher Smart Radio. We are a membership-supported organization, so if you like what you hear, we hope you'll click that donate button on the website. But regardless, tune in for more.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes Store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.